Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Short History of Financial Euphoria is a concise economics and history book by John Kenneth Galbraith that examines the recurring nature of financial bubbles, speculative manias, and market collapses. Rather than offering investment tips or a forecasting system, it studies how booms develop, why they attract rational and irrational participants alike, and why they so often end in abrupt reversals. Galbraith moves through well-known episodes such as Tulip Mania, the South Sea and Mississippi bubbles, the 1929 crash, and later excesses in junk bonds and leveraged speculation. The book is short, but its purpose is broad to show that financial euphoria is not an exception to market history, but a recurring feature of it. Its central value lies in combining historical examples, economic observation, and skepticism about claims of novelty. Readers are encouraged to recognize familiar warning signs, especially the dangerous mix of leverage, collective optimism, and short financial memory. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, financial bubbles follow a recurring historical pattern, not a one-time accident. Galbraith organizes the book around the idea that speculative episodes recur across centuries with strikingly similar dynamics. He does not treat Tulip Mania, the South Sea Bubble, the Mississippi Bubble, the 1929 stock boom, or later credit-driven excesses as isolated curiosities. Instead, each episode is presented as part of a recognizable pattern in which a promising asset, idea, or financial structure becomes the object of collective enthusiasm. Rising prices attract attention, attention produces more buying, and the increase in wealth is then mistaken for evidence of insight or superior judgment. The important analytical move is that the bubble is not explained mainly by technical market failure. It is explained by human behavior repeating itself in new forms. This historical framing gives the book its force because it shows that speculation is not limited to one era or one class of investors. The same structure keeps reappearing, only with new instruments and new language attached to it. Secondly, financial memory is short, which allows each generation to relive the same boom. A major theme in the book is what Galbraith treats as financial memory loss. After a crash, the pain is real, but it does not remain vivid for long enough to shape later behavior. As time passes, the people who suffered are replaced by new participants who did not experience the last disaster directly, and the market begins to interpret caution as outdated pessimism. Galbraith uses this idea to explain why speculative episodes return even after severe losses should have discredited them. The problem is not that people lack intelligence in a general sense. It is that memory is socially weak in finance, especially when fresh gains make the recent past seem irrelevant. The result is a recurring cycle in which the lessons of one collapse are partially forgotten before they can become durable discipline. This is one reason the book remains useful. It warns that historical awareness matters not as trivia, but as a defense against overconfidence created by a new cycle of enthusiasm. Thirdly, debt and leverage are the mechanism that turns optimism into instability. Galbraith gives special attention to debt as the practical fuel behind financial euphoria. In his view, many so-called innovations are really old speculative structures made more dangerous through borrowing. When asset prices are supported by leverage, gains can look impressive for a time because debt magnifies returns. But the same structure also makes the system fragile, since a small decline in asset value can force selling and expose the weakness of the financing behind the boom. This is why he repeatedly links speculation with the creation of debt secured by assets of uncertain value. The book is not simply arguing that borrowing is always bad. Rather, it shows that extreme leverage changes the character of an asset market by separating price from underlying stability. Once participants depend on rising values to justify the debt, the boom becomes self-reinforcing until it suddenly is not. In that sense, leverage is the bridge between psychological excitement and systemic collapse. Fourthly, financial innovation often disguises old speculation in a new form. One of the book's most memorable claims is that finance keeps inventing the wheel over and over again, often in a slightly more unstable version. Galbraith is skeptical of claims that a market is entering a fundamentally new era simply because a new instrument, structure, or theory has appeared. He argues that what is presented as innovation is frequently a rearrangement of familiar speculative behavior, typically dressed in modern terminology and backed by enthusiasm about progress. This is not a rejection of all financial development. It is a warning that novelty can hide continuity. New instruments can seem sophisticated precisely because they are less familiar, which makes it easier to ignore the same risks that existed in older forms. By stressing this point, the book challenges the common language of exceptionalism used during booms, when people insist that old rules no longer apply.
Galbraith's point is that the rules usually do apply. The packaging is what changes.
Lastly, euphoria distorts judgment until collapse reveals who was truly at risk. The book also examines the psychology of speculation and the social defense of optimism. Galbraith suggests that people become especially credulous when they are happy and prosperous, which helps explain why warnings are often dismissed during booms. Participants in a rising market tend to defend the atmosphere that is making them rich, while doubters are portrayed as naive, envious, or out of touch. This gives euphoria a kind of social protection that makes correction harder. Another important insight is that reputation during a boom is unreliable. Those who appear to be financial geniuses are often just beneficiaries of the asset cycle, and the crash exposes how much of their apparent skill was luck or timing. Galbraith captures this by emphasizing that financial genius is before the fall. The result is a sober critique of market charisma. Success in a speculative period can conceal weak judgment, and collapse often reveals that the crowd was rewarding exposure to risk, not mastery over it. In conclusion, A Short History of Financial Euphoria is best suited to readers who want a compact but serious account of how bubbles form and why they recur. Investors can use it as a check against overconfidence because it sharpens attention to leverage, crowd behavior, and the tendency to mistake rising prices for proof of wisdom. Policymakers and students of economics will also find it useful because it connects market episodes across centuries without reducing them to a single formula. The book stands out in its category because it is not a technical manual, a forecasting guide, or a moral lecture. It is a historically grounded critique of speculative culture written with unusual clarity and economy. Its brevity is part of its strength. Galbraith strips the subject down to the recurring structures that matter most, rather than burying them in theory or data. Compared with many finance books that focus on return maximization, this one concentrates on avoiding the most costly mistakes. That makes it especially valuable for readers who want durable insight into market behavior rather than short-term market advice. If you would like to support John Kenneth Galbraith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.